Well, welcome to the first Sunday of Lent. It's an exciting time to be together here in the life of the church, and so we're excited for what God will do over these next 40 days. And again, we're people that know where God promises to be, and so we're purposely stepping into those places during this season. And the heart of Christian faith for all, no matter what kind of church you go to, no matter what denomination you come from. The heart of the Christian faith is not advice, it's a patient. So, scripture does tell us how we were created to live, but it's participation. That God is continually inviting us to participate in what he's doing. In this life and suffering, death and resurrection, this ascension of Jesus is something that we step into, that we live in, that we participate in. And Lent is a season not about jumping through hoops. We can create any kind of system or program or thing to sort of make it seem like we just do the steps and we're a better person, right? We do the steps, we do the thing, and God will love us more. But Lent is not about jumping through hoops. It's about entering into the story. And so this 40 days that we step into, we have to remember over and over again that we're stepping into the story of God, that it's his story that unfolds before us, and he invites us to live it out in the here and now. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that God raised him, Jesus, from the dead and seated him at the right hand and placed all things under his feet. Comes out of the book of Ephesians. That all things are under Christ's feet, that he has conquered all things. He is Lord of lords, he is King of kings, and he invites us into that story. And this is why the church has historically called the Paschal mystery. And many times we don't use that phrase. Maybe you haven't heard that phrase. Maybe that's a weird one. We're much more familiar with Passover, this season of Passover that we celebrate. And a Passover is this remembrance of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. This moment in time, this snapshot where God shows up and does something powerful amongst his people. And so we remember it in that Passover season. We remember the blood of the lamb that spread over the door, the rescue from slavery for God's people, and the passing from death to life, that we live into this Passover movement. And Paul writes, Christ is our Passover lamb, that he's been sacrificed, and therefore let us keep the feast, this Passover feast, this celebration of remembrance. But the word Paschal comes from Passover. And so just to give you some helpful language, I know you're going to just win all the Jeopardy quizzes now that you know about the Paschal mystery. But the Paschal mystery is this. It's the saving work of Jesus through his suffering, death, resurrection, ascension, and it's our participation in it all. It's this mystery that we step into, that we become a part of. And it's not something that happened. It's something we enter into, that it's still happening. And Lent prepares us to walk with Jesus towards this. And the cross, the empty tomb, this resurrection life, it's the church's way of slowing down and saying this. So slowing down, we will not rush past the suffering. Sometimes in the race to get to hope and joy and all the things, we rush to Easter and this great celebration, and we forget about the journey. And since the earliest centuries, Lent has helped people to be formed in a pattern, to be shaped by Christ's death and resurrection, like I said. And as Wesleyans, we would say this. That grace is forming us into the likeness of Christ. Grace hasn't formed us. It's not past tense. Grace is not going to form us. That grace in real time is forming us into the likeness of Christ. That as we're aware, as we're present, as we're looking, as we're trusting in God's plan, that grace is working in our lives. That we're being made into the likeness of Christ. And so today, we look at the scripture out of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and this is the picture, the story of, he's good, he can run wild. I could care less. You're good, buddy. You got it. And so, chapter 4, verse 1 through 11 says this, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He says, "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and he will lift you up, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered him, "Is it also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test?" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All of this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came to attend to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful for these powerful words that invite us into this story that is still unfolding. We thank you for this season where we step into these 40 days with you. We look deeply within ourselves where we evaluate the ways in which we have lived our lives. God, we thank you for your word and your wisdom, and we ask that you speak to our hearts and minds today as we live this story out. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And so the season of Lent is stepping into these 40 days with Jesus. If you've been a part of our journey here at Bridge City Church, we've done a couple different ways of walking through Lent, this wilderness experience, where we identify with what Jesus is going through, where we evaluate our own lives, where we look at the priorities that we've placed around us. And again, it's important for us to remember that before Jesus goes to the cross, he goes into the wilderness. Before this great celebration of Easter, this victory over death and sin, we find him in testing, that the Spirit actually leads him there. And it's important that the wilderness is not abandonment. Sometimes we can feel that way. I know there have been times in my life where I felt like I was in the wilderness, like I was left alone, I was abandoned, I was isolated and far from anything that was good. But we believe that it is preparation, that the wilderness is a place for us to prepare our hearts and minds, that wilderness is a season. And if you know, seasons change. Sometimes here in Florida, they change every other day. I was sweating yesterday at a football game. Louis had a flag football championship game and became the reigning champion for flag football. Yes. I think he gets it from his mom. But we were sweating, and then I'm preparing my yard to see if the plants are going to freeze again in a couple days. That seasons change, that there's a swirl, and we never quite know when the shift is going to happen. And so stepping into this wilderness season purposefully, knowing that God is going to move, is a powerful way to push back against the things of this world. That it's not pun. Thomas A. Kempis, I know you all read Thomas A. Kempis quite a bit. He's one of the great people quoted on Twitter and Facebook and all that. But Thomas A. Kempis, a great spiritual thinker, says this: without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. And there's this idea in our world, in our culture, that existed in Jesus' day, that if you just sort of do the things, right, life will just sort of unfold. That you kind of roll the dice sometimes. Things will happen if they happen. They won't happen if they don't happen. But as people who follow Christ, we realize that he lived his life being formed each and every day. That he had a pattern he followed, that he prayed, that he spent time with those close to him sharing his life, that he reached out to people that were far from God and invited them in, that he spoke truth, that he knew there was a direction, a purpose in his life. So he knew there was a way. We need a way. He knew there was a truth. We need a truth in our life. And we need to be reminded regularly to look at our life and evaluate to see if we're truly living the way we're meant to live. And so for us as Global Methodists, Lent is not about earning salvation. Again, we see people time and time again come to Jesus thinking if they say the right thing, if they do the right thing, if they say the right prayer, that Jesus is some kind of vending machine, that I can kind of get what I want from Jesus. if I say the right thing, do the right thing, if I kind of earn my way in. But we believe it's about cooperating with grace, with what God is doing. And so we know that God goes before us. That's a huge part of who we are as Wesleyans, that his prevenient grace, it goes out ahead of us. That as we turn to God, we're justified by his grace. As we continue to live our life and follow these patterns, these disciplines, that we're sanctified, that we become more and more like Christ. And so in the wilderness, Jesus resists false identity. This is one of the things that we see time and time again in our world, that people are trying to tell us who we are. They're trying to tell us what it is we're supposed to do or be, or what success means. And Jesus has offered all the things. He's offered all the kingdom, all the power, all the prestige, and he pushes back knowing that's a false identity. He refuses to disorder his life, disorder desire. And Jesus anchors himself in the Father's word. He repeats scripture back to the devil in these temptations. I have a couple Wesley quotes in here. John Wesley says this, and this is sort of a power move, I think. This is like a way to sort of power through something. He says, temptation is not sin. People are tempted all the time. People try and tempt us by the things that we see, the things that people say to us, maybe tempted to live our life in a certain way. He says, temptation is not sin. It is the occasion of victory. Amen? That's a bold statement, that when we're tempted, instead of seeing it as something we run from or hide from or avoid, it is an occasion of victory. That as Jesus purposely goes to the place where he's to be tempted, he knows if he anchors himself in his identity, who he is, who he's meant to be, that it becomes an occasion of victory. And so every response that Jesus offers, every thing that Jesus says in response is a victory, not just for him, but for us. Again, we live into this story that we can push back when people try and tell us who we should be or what we should do or the things that make us successful, that we can anchor ourselves before anything else in our identity in Christ. Justification comes we're saved from the guilt of sin, but sanctification, we're saved from the power of it, that it no longer has power over us. Maybe you've had an experience where in a relationship, maybe a family dynamic, where someone really just held power over you, that you wanted so bad to make them happy or to please them or to do what they expected you to do, that you sort of, but it's so hard for you to sort of shift and be and do. And sin can be like that, that puts this expectation on us. But as we become more like Christ, the power of it is lifted, that sometimes we can just live fully who we are to be, that we can be exactly how God created us, and the expectations of the world around us don't have as much power. The things that once drew us away aren't as distracting. And Lent is a season where we celebrate the freedom the freedom from the power of sin. That as Jesus responds, as he pushes back over and over again, it's a victory for us in our world today, that we have this anchoring to speak to the things that pull us in a different direction. And, our church is a new one that's starting, and I have to tell you, I am constantly aware, as we're shaping Bridge City Church, as we're inviting people to come and join us on mission, as we're making plans, that I'm constantly aware, if we skip seasons like Lent, again, a dark season in the life of the church. If you joined us Ash Wednesday, you came experienced kind of I would call it a down service, that there's a darkness that sort of enters this world as we step into the wilderness. As a pastor, I literally put ash on your forehead. I remind you that you come from dust and dust you return. Not a real positive phrase to tell people, right? That we step into this low place so that we can fully see the world around us. And if we skip seasons like Lent, if we skip things like Ash Wednesday, we risk forming shallow disciples. Shallow disciples. I've been in the church for a very long time. I know sometimes it is easy to gather people around lots of other things besides discipleship. That we can gather folks, that we can get people in the doors. But when it comes to this work of each day living out our faith, It's hard. It's difficult. It requires us to step just one step further each and every day. And so we repeat these patterns. We're a community of followers who know where God promises to be, and we're willing to meet him there, to participate. We serve. If you've been a part of Bridge City, you know that service is a huge part, that we love to love on our community, that we take our time here as part of worship to care for those in our community, to love on those who are seeking hope and joy, who maybe feel isolated and forgotten. But we have to remember, if we recover this fullness of this Paschal mystery, right, we gain a deeper commitment of who Christ is in our life. That we begin to see him more and more as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, that we begin to defer to him and his will instead of what we want to do. We understand what it means to be the church. You can tell people, define church for me. You'll find a ton of different definitions. But we really believe being a church is gathering together and loving one another, watching over one another, caring for one another, growing in discipleship, encouraging, keeping each other accountable, doing the work that God calls us to do, that we become a group of people that is constantly aware of where God is moving in our community and going there to meet him. We live this life that is shaped by the cross as resurrection people, this victory that we live in, even when it seems like we're not quite winning in this life all the time. And so I invite you into this practice, this 40 days, where we do something different in our life. I've lifted these things up, maybe something like fasting from something that controls you. There are lots of things that pull me away, that draw my attention. And so maybe you want to give those things up for 40 days. Maybe it's adding daily scripture. We follow Seedbed wake-up call. So every morning you get an email with a devotion. They're walking through this Lenten season. You can listen to it. Usually J.D. Walt, who's one of the authors, kind of the head person there at Seedbed, will read it to you. Sometimes we'll have some special guests. Read some scripture, give a little bit of background, and then sing some songs together. But maybe adding that is something you need to do. This weekly communion, every time we gather together, we share in communion, this meal at the table as we anchor ourselves in what God has done. This confession and repentance that as we prepare our hearts for this meal, that we confess the places where we have fallen short, that we say, God, I'm turning away from those things. And then maybe prayer in the morning or the evening. I've offered up, there's some sheets out there. One of the things that I'm stepping into, I invite you to join me, is the Wesley Fast. And so it's fasting one day a week, Thursday from sundown to Friday at 3 p.m. This way of really focusing on what it is God is trying to tell us each and every day and stepping into that practice of fasting. Lent is not about proving your devotion. It's about yielding to his will. And so in the Paschal mystery that we step into, we ask these questions. We talk about this idea of what is it? What are the things? What are the things that are shaping my identity? What are the things I interact with in the world? What are the things that I give my time to that really are creating my identity? If you were to ask, who is Lou? People would describe sort of these attributes. It would become parts of my identity. What's shaping it? What hunger is ruling my heart? I've shared this before. Before coming here, I did a lot of work in recovery ministry, those suffering with addiction from drugs and narcotics. And we would all the time talk about, we'd ask the question, are you feeding the Holy Ghost or the Hungry Ghost? Are you feeding this thing inside you that is just, it is hungry all the time? You can't give it enough of yourself. Or are you stepping into the Holy Ghost, this thing that that anchors us in our identity, that feeds us in a powerful way? And so what is it that's ruling your heart, this hunger that's drawing you? And then where am I tempted to take shortcuts? We live in a world of shortcuts. I had this conversation with somebody last week. My son, he's about to turn 12, and obviously he needs a smartphone. That's what he's asking for, obviously, right? Because he's not with us enough that I need to get a hold of him. But he's like, I need a smartphone. He goes, I'm the only child that doesn't have a smartphone. All my friends have smartphones. You know, anytime he sees a smartphone, he's like, hey, can I look at that? And all this kind of stuff. And I'm constantly saying, no, we don't need it. We don't need it. You don't need those things. Because I know every interaction I have with him, he's trying to find a shortcut. So I tell him this all the time. I said, you know, when I was a kid, this makes me sound old. When I was a kid, if we like had a question about something, we had to kind of wonder a little bit, right? Or go to a library to get some answers. Internet came, now there's lots of answers. Not all of them are correct, but there's answers there. Now we have Siri and Alexa and all that. And so now my son will come to me with the most random questions. He's into sports, so ask me like a sports statistic on some person I've never heard of. I said, I don't know. And he'll just turn around to our Alexa and he'll ask the Alexa the question and instantly he gets an answer. Things like he has to type a paper, do some homework. He goes to the computer and I said, well, you know, type it out so we can check it. And instead of typing, he does this where he hits the voice record, the text to type. Any of you guys use that? And he hits it and I'm like, well, yes, it works. But what are you going to do when you don't have like a text to type and you're like slowly typing something out? But he's looking for shortcuts all the time. And in our world, everything that's put before us that's good is a shortcut. It's faster, it's easier, it's better. And so where am I tempted to take shortcuts when it comes to my identity, when it comes to my faith, when it comes to my longing to know God in better ways? Am I just taking a shortcut? Am I doing the simple thing? And this is the question that we ask over and over again. And in this mystery, we have to remember that we die with Christ, that we rise with Christ and we live in Christ, that this is something that's happening right now. Not a story that we read, that we look back on and we think, oh, there's some good points in there, but it's a story that we live each and every day. It's about remembering what it is God has done and what he invites us into. And we remember it over and over and over again in these 40 days until it becomes our story, until we are living in the wilderness with Jesus each and every day, that we are being tempted by the world and we're pushing back. We know who we are. We have our identity anchored. And in the wilderness, we believe that grace is already at work, that God has already gone, that victory has already been had, that it has been conquered, and we can live our life in a different way because of that reality. And so this season of Lent, I want to invite you to stop and pause. In these 40 days, to really think about the ways in which you can live your life in a way that's extraordinary instead of ordinary. That as you leave this place, you find ways, these disciplines, maybe fasting or prayer, reading scripture, maybe it's something that you do physically with your body, that you go for a walk and reflect, that you look at nature and appreciate what God has done, that you find something that breaks up the pattern, that allows you to open your eyes and see just a little bit clearer what God is already doing. Maybe a neighbor who needs some help. Maybe a friend or a family member that that you've maybe avoided asking that question because you just don't quite know what's going on in their life and you don't want to push them. You don't want to open a can of worms. You don't want to upset them. But maybe God is sending you there to be fully present, to listen, to care, to offer some kind of help. Maybe there's a crisis happening around you and you've just said, you know, not my problem. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to open my mouth. I'm not going to do or say anything. And maybe God's calling you to step into that, not to create a problem, but to be a source of hope, to love on someone who maybe feels unloved, to care for someone who feels uncared for, to see them in a different way. This is what Lent calls us into, and over the next 40 days, we're going to be offering up practices for you to step into. We're going to be offering up ways in which you can help and be a part of worship here. Again, this is church is about participation. Our faith is about stepping in fully what God has called us to do. Not just me, not just the people up here on stage, but all of us stepping in fully to what God has for us. And so in the wilderness, we have to believe grace is already at work. Grace is moving and acting, that there are great things happening if we open our eyes to what God is doing. And so let us pray as we continue in worship.